Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Got Joanne Sutton and Phil Anderson with the Manhattan Housing Authority in studio. I'm Brady Bowman. And again, we got some good phone calls in that first segment with Joanne and Phil. Again, the phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. And the last caller did bring up some interesting information and maybe something, Joanne, that you can go over. You brought up Section 8 housing, and you mentioned how that is Section 8 housing and public housing. There is some differences. I guess first, when people say Section 8 housing, what does that even really mean?
Section 8 housing, there are different variations of Section 8 housing. That the Section 8 program that we operate is we issue a voucher to eligible applicants on the waiting list. And the applicants take that voucher out into the community, and they're able to rent a unit from a private landlord. And they pay 30% of their adjusted gross income for rent, and we subsidize the rent up to the contract rent that the landlord charges. And those Section 8 vouchers are also portable. They can be taken to any Section 8 agency in the United States. Where public housing, that program consists of just the units that we own, operate, and manage ourselves. And so obviously those units are not portable. And so that's the big difference between public housing and Section 8.
I would say the public housing in Manhattan is about, what, 200 units that we have?
202 that we own and operate, and another 30 that we manage.
That's right. And so the Section 8 has greatly expands the number of units that we're involved with that for people that that have the need for those units. So there's a huge difference then between just our 202. How many more local Section 8 tenants do we have?
Well, we have another 197 vouchers that we can utilize for the regular Section 8 program. And then we have another 55 that are called HUD-VASH vouchers, which are reserved exclusively for homeless veterans, and we partner with the Veterans Administration for those. And then another 25 vouchers that are reserved for Family Unification Program, which is reserved for families who have lost their children or are in danger of losing their children to the foster care system due to inadequate housing.
So that's 475 units, so that's quite significant for our community.
We're here with Phil Anderson and Joanne Sutton of Manhattan Housing Authority, talking about public housing, talking Section 8, talking about all sorts of different things. The annual report for the Manhattan Housing Authority came out and had some breakdowns, some interesting statistics as far as public housing in Manhattan, broken down as far as by race. About 76% of those are white, with 20.18% black, and then you have 1% that's Indian and Alaskan, which is interesting to me. It's like you don't think of Alaskan folks around Manhattan, and then about 2.75% mix. As far as the elderly disabled demographics there, about 40% are elderly or disabled. And when you look at the primary income sources, Social Security is about 40%, and about wages is just a little over 35%. Are both of you seeing a greater need for public housing as the years have gone by?
There is a need for public housing in Manhattan. We have many discussions about affordable housing at our board meetings, and affordable is all relative. But unfortunately, several years ago, HUD stopped giving development funds or providing funds for development of public housing. And they tell us housing authorities that we've got to think outside of the box and get creative and involve tax credits or private development or construction loans and different types of financing options. So there are no more true public housing development funds. We can build developments that might get operating subsidy, but they've got to be done with outside sources. And so it gets a little more complicated when we figure out how we're going to pay that debt service to do that.
I imagine that's a challenge.
We talk about affordable housing. Rod Harms has suggested the term should be suitable housing, and I thought that was an interesting view of that. Obviously, the public housing and the Section 8 housing can be, in fact, are calibrated on your own income and ability to support yourself. And so that does make that suitable or affordable.
And Joanne, I thought it was interesting that you mentioned some of the ways that these programs help veterans. And are you seeing an increased need there as well?
Yes. The veterans can be somewhat of a transient population as well. However, we have 55 vouchers, and we always have at least 50 of them filled at any one time. And it seems like there's those other five that are kind of a participant comes on the program, and for whatever reason, they go off the program, and we're filling it with another one. And so there's about those extra five that just kind of float in and float out. But there is always a need for those vouchers. And unfortunately, the case management staff at VA is limited, so they are required to have case management through VA. So it's kind of a delicate balance, because while we can administer more vouchers, the VA may not have enough staff for case management, or vice versa. So we have to kind of coordinate with them and keep our levels at an acceptable point.
I imagine that gets frustrating from time to time.
It does.
And when you're looking at housing authorities, just in general, maybe just looking at Manhattan Housing Authority, as far as the way it's funded and how all that works, what is the breakdown on funding? Is there a pretty big leaning on federal funding? Or I know you've both been mentioning how the city of Manhattan has helped greatly with apartment towers and some of those fixes there.
Well, and they helped us because HUD's funding was not enough to cover what we also had to have, which is the sewer line repaired and the windows. Without those two, we couldn't have opened up the building. My feeling was that HUD should have covered the whole thing. When they didn't, and for whatever reason, we had to turn to the city, and the city very graciously looked at the project. All the city commissioners walked through the apartment towers and had a look at it firsthand, along with Joanna, myself, and the staff, and the other commissioners, and saw the quality of work that was being done. These are very nice units. They're very simple. They're very plain, but all of the systems in there are absolutely first class, first rate, and I think anybody who ends up living there is going to be just thrilled with that opportunity. These are good units, and I'm looking forward to the open house. I want people to come over and see the kind of public housing that under Joanne's leadership, and I want to tell you that Joanne has done an outstanding job as director of the Manhattan Housing Authority, and her board of commissioners wholeheartedly support her.
That open house, so maybe give us a little bit of information on when that's coming up.
Well, we are waiting to schedule it when we know that we have our certificate of occupancy and can have people in there. But just at the first opportunity, we're already planning everything but the date. We've got a theme, and it's going to be Welcome Home. And so we really hope the community will come out and see how this money has been invested. And I think they will be pleased with what they see.
Are we talking July, end of July, or August for the open house?
We'll probably be talking into August. It's going to be busy when we first get our certificate of occupancy because, of course, we want to get the people that have been relocated and want to come back to the apartment towers moved back, and we need to get our offices moved back in. So we're going to have to kind of coordinate all that moving around. But we're going to have a couple of units staged, and we're working with other businesses to get some door prices and food donated and beverage. So we are very excited and planning for a nice open house so the community can come see what we have spent this money on.
Again, talking about apartment towers, specifically in this case with the open house just right across from the post office in Manhattan, as far as occupancy, is pretty much all the rooms spoken for, or is there some rooms open if people are interested?
There will be rooms open. We about 15 people will be coming back that have been relocated, but we do have a waiting list, and we are starting to determine eligibility for those on the waiting list. For anybody who's interested in moving into the apartment towers, now is the time to come see us and get your application on the waiting list. We contact you by date and time of application. Our offices are currently at 205 South 4th, Suite G, and our phone number is 776-8588. We will gladly mail an application to you.
Brady Bowman with Phil Anderson and Joanne Sutton of Manhattan Housing Authority. We just got about a minute or so left. Apartment Towers has just gone under a lot of revitalization. How many units is Apartment Towers alone?
There are 88 units in there. There's 33 one-bedroom units and 55 studio apartments.
So that's probably a big bulk of your public housing
it
just
is.
In that building alone.
Indeed.
Indeed, and these units are, I just can't wait for the public to see how nice these units are. Kent Foster, the architect?
Mm-hmm.
Kent Foster said to me when we were touring them, he said, you know, I wouldn't design a living space that I wouldn't want to live in myself. And so these are very nice, very plain, and you have a wonderful view, especially if you get up on the top of it. You've got the best view of Manhattan anywhere in the city.
Tallest building in Manhattan, right?
That's yes. Right.
Still, right. Well, just got about a minute left. Any last words?
Well, I think this project is something that we're all going to be very proud of. Not only the Housing Authority, it's been a lot of work for us, but I think it's something that the entire community can be proud of. And it's going to be very nice living arrangements for some of our low-income people in Manhattan. And so, once again, we will be back to announce when we know that we have an open house date, and we really hope the community will come out and join us in celebrating the finish of this project.
This has been a 5-year project, and we are so pleased to be almost at the end of it.
Well, when you guys know, come on back. We have a spot for you here on In Focus.
Thank you.
All right.
Joanne Sutton and Phil Anderson from Manhattan Housing Authority. Miss any of today's show, it'll be online, on demand, at newsradiokman.com. Got a great show tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
When you shop at Carpet One of Manhattan, you're among members of the community. Carpet One of Manhattan. KMAN. Manhattan.